Greetings there. This is your host, Kim, and this is episode 2 of How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast for the hit ABC TV show How to Get Away with Murder. Sorry it took so long for the second episode, but that's okay because we're about to shoot through the next 8 episodes to get you all caught up with the summaries and everything so that we can get prepared for episode 10 that is coming up within this week. So, ready for some rapid-fire podcasting. And we're going to start out with a summary. And just to make this easier and more palatable for you guys so you're not listening to me drone on and on and on and on and on forever with the summaries, I'm going to get those recaps from ABC.com. So let's get started with that recap. Episode 102. It's All Her Fault. 2 months and 3 weeks ago, Annalise reads a newspaper article posing a question about Lila Stangard's death. Was it an accident or was it a murder? In class, Annalise lets her students know that she doesn't care to know if her clients are guilty or innocent. That's because everyone lies, so everyone is unknowable. For example, Marjorie St. Vincent may have been taken by surprise by someone she knew when she was stabbed 16 times in the master bedroom of her mansion. The alleged killer? Max St. Vincent, her husband. Max shows Annalise and her team the room where his wife of 20 years was killed. The crime scene has been preserved so the students can view it with a fresh set of eyes. Max uses Connor to play the role of his dead wife so he can act out how he murdered his wife, according to the prosecution. He has the moves for sure. Max said there were 3 cops at the scene, but only 2 were listed on the report. Annalise sends Wes to the police department to retrieve the supplemental arrest record. The clerk believes he's with the DA's office, so he turns it over to him, no questions asked. Wes's neighbor, Rebecca, swings by at 3 in the morning to use his shower. It's cool. Wes was up. He can't help gazing at her as she undresses before heading behind the door. The next morning, Wes sees on the news that Lila Stangard's death has been ruled a homicide. He recognizes the photo of her boyfriend, Griffin O'Reilly, as being the same guy who rushed out of Rebecca's apartment not too long ago. Wes has no time to digest this as he turns over the arrest report. Annalise effectively uses it to discredit the cop who bogusly claimed to have found the hunting knife that was used as the murder weapon. Connor uses his booty call IT guy to get into info to discredit Marjorie's best friend, who would likely testify that Max killed his wife to avoid a divorce. Frank takes Michaela and Asher with him to help him find a witness to corroborate his alibi. Thanks to a little blackmail, the mission is accomplished. Max's daughter, Eloise, comes in from Stanford to be a character witness for her dad. She's prepped hard by the team, but is unprepared for the prosecution's claim that Max's first wife, her mother, was killed in Switzerland back when he went by the name Stuart Sims. The murder weapon? A hunting knife. Annalise assures Max that if he lies to her again, he no longer has an attorney. At home, she checks Sam's phone for messages from Lila Stangard. She finds an innocent one. She flat out asks Sam if he slept with his student. It's happened before. Sam assures Annalise that there was nothing going on between him and Lila. They kiss and make up. Then it's back to work. Even if Max did kill his first wife, the team's only concern is proving that he didn't kill the second one. Laurel has an idea of how to do just that. After all, Max is a hunter. He knows how to kill. Yet the crime scene suggests that the murderer does not. Annalise has Max demonstrate how to kill an animal humanely. He used this method to kill his first wife. An expert confirms that Max's first wife was murdered by someone who knew a lot about anatomy. The slayer of his second wife did not. There's no way these 2 women were killed by the same person. Wes takes note of Eloise during the testimony. He believes she's the killer, exacting revenge to frame her dad after she found out he killed her mom. He has no idea that Frank had already presented this likelihood to Annalise. None of that matters now. The case has gone to the jury. Max St. Vincent found guilty. In random updates, Nate warns Annalise to be careful about embarrassing cops on the stand. He also assures her that the 2 of them are done. He threatens to tell Sam about the 2 of them if she ever calls him again. Rebecca tells Wes that she was not Lila Stangard's friend. Connor makes up with booty call IT guy by buying him takeout after initially blowing off their dinner date. In a flash forward, we see that Wes lied about the coin toss to make sure that the group went back to get the dead body. He's the one who purchases the lighter fluid used to set the body ablaze. He buys a burner phone while in the store. He makes a call, assuring whoever's on the other end of the line that he convinced the others to help take care of the problem. Wes vows that they will protect this yet-to-be-revealed person. Annalise checks Sam's phone again. She finds that the innocent message she saw before has been deleted. She heads out to see Nate. She tells him that Sam and Lila were close. He may have had something to do with the murder. Annalise needs Nate to check out her husband's alibi. He agrees to do so, just before warning her to be careful. When Annalise returns home, she makes passionate love to Sam. The tears running down her face after they are done suggest she did this simply so he wouldn't know she's suspicious. Wes returns home to his apartment to find Rebecca being arrested. He tells her not to say anything. Wes sees on the news that Griffin O'Reilly has also been arrested. The two of them are suspects in the murder of Lila Stangard. Rebecca has a history of drug charges. Wes realizes she hid something in his bathroom the night she came in to shower. It's a cell phone. In a flash forward, we once again see Wes making the call, vowing to protect someone. This person is staying in room 203 of a hotel. The identity of the subject he's been calling is revealed. It's Rebecca. Wes promises that he won't leave her again. He kisses her, promising that she's safe. Alright, guys. Well, now that we got through the recap, let's get into some First off, the murder reenactment was pretty scary and oddly convincing, don't you think? I mean, Max, for me, when I was first watching this episode, I just figured Max had to be guilty. But is it too easy to say he's guilty? And after we saw him in the first few minutes of the episode, but he seems a little suspicious, a little sure of himself. But as we find out later, that assurance was the fact that he knows he didn't kill his second wife. Interesting. However, yeah, I love the look on Connor's face and the rest of the students as Max is just stabbing that pin down at him on the bed. And I also love the comment Max makes that Connor is just about as beautiful as his now deceased wife. And I agree, that man is beautiful. And speaking of Connor, let's go on to Asher figures out finally that Connor is gay. A little slow on the uptake. I mean, as my mom would say, the man looks like he's got sugar in his panties. He's a beautiful gay man. Also, we find out that Sam has cheated on Annalise before with a student, I assume. I mean, that's what it sounded like when they had that exchange when she's talking about Lila. And this marriage seems like it's somehow rocky and solid all at the same time. And what I mean by that is that these two obviously have cheated. It doesn't look that Annalise has said anything to Sam about cheating. And maybe this is the first time she's cheated. That's what it seems like to me anyway. It certainly has not been the first time he's cheated, as Annalise has said. But has he only cheated with one other student besides this supposed time that Annalise thinks he was sleeping with Lila? Of course, he had one student before, but maybe there's more. He is a handsome man. And Max admits to having killed his ex-wife and was acquitted of it in Switzerland. And, of course, I know what acquittal means. However, I've never gone exactly into what acquittal means. And considering this is called How to Get Away with Law, and I'm a little interested in law and the particular definitions and cases, we will go into some terms starting with acquittal. Now, acquittal itself means, in the common law tradition, an acquittal formally certifies that the accused is free from the charge of an offense, as far as the criminal law is concerned. This is so even where the prosecution is abandoned, nolle prosequi. I'm sorry, I am going to be terrible at pronouncing these terms, so forgive me in advance. The finality of an acquittal is dependent on the jurisdiction. In some countries, such as the United States, under the rules of double jeopardy and, oh, here we go with one of the other ones, it looks more like, hold on, I think I have a pronunciation somewhere here, maybe. Nope. Actually, I do not have a pronunciation. I thought I did, but psh, here we go. I'm about to slaughter it. So, under the rules of double jeopardy and entrefois acquit, an acquittal operates to bar the retrial of the accused for the same offense, even if new evidence surfaces that further implicates the accused. The effect of an acquittal on criminal proceedings is the same whether it results from a jury verdict, or whether it results from the operation of some other rule that discharges the accused. In other countries, the prosecuting authority may appeal on acquittal similar to how a defendant may appeal a conviction. Now, I want to go into some of those terms I couldn't exactly pronounce here. One of them being, looks like nolle prosequi. Is a legal term of art and a Latin legal phrase meaning be unwilling to pursue. A phrase amounting to do not prosecute. It is a phrase used in many common law criminal prosecution contexts to describe a prosecutor's decision to voluntarily discontinue criminal charges either before trial or before a verdict is rendered. It contrasts with involuntary dismissal. And another definition I wanted to go into was the autre fois acquit, which refers to an accused who cannot be tried for a crime because the record shows he has already been subjected to trial for the same conduct and was acquitted. If the accused maintains that the previous trial resulted in conviction, he or she pleads autre fois convict. Autre fois attaint is another similar term, attainted. For a felony, a person cannot be tried again for the same offense. Any attempt to retry a person for the same offense can be met with the defense of double jeopardy. So in other words, this man has already been acquitted for a similar murder of his wife. So at first, when I first watched this, this is about the third, just one. How in the world does this man get off that Eloise was the one who stabbed Marjorie to frame Max for the murder of her mom in Switzerland? And that's got to be an interesting family dynamic there. Max just seems to be a very charismatic, honest, kind of shocking sort of guy. And it doesn't surprise me that his daughter is sharp, and obviously she was out to get her revenge. And in the end, she gets to go free, and so does he, even though she was the murderer. But hey, we're talking about Annalise and her crew, and they're all for just winning their cases, and even if a murderer goes free. But I found this case interesting and Max really disturbing. Now, I want to go on to the larger story. As we saw in the last episode, we saw that the four of the infamous five students that are chosen to work for Annalise were burying Sam's body, or burning it, in the first episode. But, of course, we're still wondering how in the world and who in the world killed Sam. What happened in that situation? And at this point, I'm thinking, could it be as simple as Annalise killed Sam, and since the students are so devoted to her, and they've already been in a mess of trouble doing all this illegal stuff, getting criminals, or helping to get criminals off of any persecution or trial or cases, people needing to go to jail for murder. But are these students dedicated enough to help her bury Sam's body? Did she call them into it? I don't know what it is, but that's my guess at this point, that maybe we're looking a little too hard. Annalise obviously is suspicious that her husband was cheating and possibly even murdered Lila. So, hey, we're going to get there and figure out what it is, but I'm intrigued, man. Seeing these flashbacks and flash forwards and just all of this trying to figure out what's going on, it's great. And you know what, guys? These first few podcasts are going to be short because, like I said, I'd start this podcast later. The time episode 9 was already on the air, but I would love for someone to, more than one person, or one person, to go ahead and just go ahead and send a tweet, email, or something, and let's get into this discussion. This show is awesome, and I would love to hear from you guys. If you want to email, well, you can email at howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. You can tweet, and that Twitter handle is Get Away With Law. And also, you can find the Facebook group. All you have to do is see page, How to Get Away With Law. And let's get into some discussion. So, I'll be talking to you guys soon when we get to episode 3. Thank you for joining me.